Ontario's rural communities and agri-food sector hold tremendous promise for driving economic growth for the entire province and all Ontarians. By distributing the economic development throughout the province, with infrastructure investment in roads, bridges, schools, broadband, energy, and healthcare, we can create new jobs in thriving communities, ease the strain on big city issues of transportation and housing, and most importantly, we can secure a sustainable food system that every Ontarian depends on. A thriving rural economy can spearhead growth for the entire province. Find out more at producingprosperity.ca.
Okay, folks, we're here. Thanks for listening in. It's the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio 102.7. Thanks for spending some time with us today. Got a great guest today, some great songs, and we hope you've all recovered from that huge heat wave. I don't know about you, Tom. It was really hot there, humid, wasn't it?
It was hot, but I'm shutting my trap because I complained all winter long. And as a former farmer, yeah, you know, you get what you get.
All right. Don't forget, folks, we're on Facebook Live, and please go ahead and post some questions or comments on there. We'd love to hear you. Thanks for listening. If you listen to us on the FM signal or on our live audio feed off our webpage, radiowaterloo.ca. So with that, let's get started. And Tom, you've got some great... I should say Thomas, right? Would that be...
Tom is fine. Yeah. Thomas is...
I guess we get called Tom.
Well, it's got to be with my middle name, which is Lloyd. Tom Lloyd sounds ridiculous.
Okay.
And Lloyd's my father, was my father's name. So it's, it's pride and correctness. So you can call me whatever you want.
That sounds like
that's a song just title. Don't call me late for dinner.
Right. Let's talk about your first selection of songs here. What do you got for us to listen to?
Well, you know, our theme today is pigs. From the agricultural standpoint, and also from my parody, Playboar. So I thought that the Beatles' "Piggies" would be rather appropriate.
Yeah.
So without further ado,
tell us about this song. We'll talk about it afterwards, but why this one? What is this one?
It's, you know, and I think it's people's perception. Pigs have taken a bit of a beating, over the years, because they've been likened to humans behaving badly. So it's the whole idea of, you know, if your room's a mess, you're a pig. If you could smell like a pig, if you smell bad, but let me tell you, pigs are clean, and pigs only smell bad because of swine management.
Right.
So anyway, they'll be as clean as you let them be. So really, it is about the Beatles song. I think is just about bloated human beings, possibly the upper class, it was just a wonderful song about humans.
All right.
I think, anyway, it could totally be about pigs. I don't know, but
well, thanks for listening, folks. Tom, just press the button there, and we'll play that. We'll be right back.
Crawling in the dirt, and for all the little piggies, life is getting worse. Always having dirt to play around in. Have you seen the bigger piggies in the starched white shirts? You will find the bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean shirts to play around in. Forks and knives to eat their bacon.
This is Amy Beth Brubaker from Elmira. You're listening to Community Radio, CKMS Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7, or on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, or on the internet at soundfm.ca. Community Radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
Hi everyone, this is Willie A., and I'm the host of a blues radio program at a sister community radio station here in Waterloo. You are listening to Community Radio CKMS, Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7, on Rogers Digital Network at 946, and on the internet at soundfm.ca. Community Radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You're listening to The Agricultural Show, which is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The WFA represents the farm producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society. Thank you for listening to Community Radio on 102.7 CKMS.
Tell us about yourself, Thomas. How many people sit around the Hagee Family Christmas Feast Day?
Tell
us about yourself.
We've lost a few Hagees in the battle against time. But you know, when we were on the farm, because this is a farm show, certainly, six or eight were there as our immediate family. But you never knew who was going to show up. I mean, relatives show up, and you kind of, that's what country people do is they take an occasion and they, you know, turn it into just one more great reason to be together.
Right,
so
right.
I think, and you know something? It could have happened, you know, if a pig breeder brought a sow over to be bred, Mom just looked out the window and just knew that Dad was going to say, would you like to stay for dinner, you know, or supper?
Right.
And so, yeah, we always had guests and even people that lost their way on the side of the road who came looking to do some farm labor or whatever were asked to stay for dinner. So anyway, dinner was always, you never knew who was going to show up.
So Christmas was quite a feast. It just kind of like opened the door open and people would walk in.
Well, I mean, usually they were invited, but we didn't turn anybody away.
Yeah, that's nice to hear. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
You've had a full life. Any interesting hobbies? Or are you a rock climber by chance? Or having fun up and down those fake mountains? Or are you have other stuff you're doing?
No. You know, I mean, aside from writing humor, and that's kind of what I did, and I'll talk about that. But aside from writing humor, humorists or comedians seem to get along well with musicians.
Right.
And I was able to connect with a lot of great musicians in Nashville and was able to travel with, because it's so much easier listening to someone who really knows how to play than it is to take up the guitar and try to learn.
Right.
So I was fortunate to be thrown together with Ricky Skaggs and Levon Helm from the band and Emmylou Harris and just a lot of great country rock musicians. And it's just, I would just kind of, when they'd come anywhere close to the Canadian border or if they were coming into Canada, I was either their guide, tour guide in Canada, or I would go with them in the U.S. and go away for, you know, 3 weeks or a month with them. So I was able to kind of listen to great music and travel around and think about my next project as an observer of human nature. And I'd like to turn you know, my life experiences into funny things for people to kind of take a look at human behavior from the comfortable distance of my creation.
Sounds like you've had lots of great adventures. I'm glad you told us that story. Let's play another song here real quick if we can, and we'll come back with a little bit more of what you're doing. What do you got queued up there next?
Okay, Bill Monroe was the granddaddy of bluegrass music. And
okay.
I met Bill Monroe several times with Ricky Skaggs, once at the Grand Ole Opry, in a very intimate back room at the Grand Ole, and being able to listen to these giants of music play their do their thing. And so, and, you know, one of the things, when the show's over for musicians, they're hungry about midnight.
Right.
And so Bill was saying, like, I'm hungry. Is there any food? And so anyway, one of the banjo players said, look, my mom packed some ham, like salted ham and biscuits, and I've got them in the back of the bus. So he goes back to the back of the bus and pulls them out. Well, the buns, the biscuits have already started to go moldy. And Bill looked at the ham and said, well, you just can't hurt ham. I mean, you should be able to, doesn't need a best before date. Ham is ham. Yeah. So this song is a song that Ricky Skaggs sang, and it's called You Can't Hurt Ham.
All right, let's try it. And
we'll see how far Facebook lets us go.
But, yeah, that's true. Go
if,
right ahead.
If we do get cut off, just Google You Can't Hurt Ham by Ricky Skaggs and you can enjoy the music on your own. So here we go. You Can't Hurt Ham.
Bill Monroe out on the road. He's going to the bluegrass day. When about midnight, he said with a fright, I'm hungry, is it too late? Well, the driver said, chief, ain't no place to eat, everything's done shut up tight. Then the banjo man said he had a plan, thought he might save the night. From a greasy little sack tucked away in the back of the bus, he gave his all. A bunch of country ham and biscuits, his mama made him for the haul. About 2 days old and started to mold, said the banjo picking man. Mon said, boy, bring me that sack, you know you can't hurt ham. Well, you know you can't hurt ham, you know you can't hurt ham. Mon said, boy, bring me that sack, you know you can't hurt ham. Uncle Dave making his way across the USA. Tuck a ham in a box with nails for locks he'd open up once a day. He'd hand some to the waitress, say, throw this in the pan. I've been all around this world, and girl, you know you can't hurt ham. Well, you know you can't hurt ham, you know you can't hurt ham. I've been all around this world, and girl, you know you can't hurt ham. Get a hold of milk too old and throw things out of whack. And you can hurt a chicken, someone else mess you up. And no one can hurt you like someone you love. There's a culinary promise that's known throughout the land. No refrigerate, no expired date, you know you can't hurt ham. Well, you know you can't hurt ham, you know you can't hurt ham. No refrigerate, no expired date, you know you can't hurt ham. No refrigerate, no expired date, you know you can't hurt ham.
What about a man that write a song about ham?
Hi, I'm Marcia Ruby from Alternatives Journal. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, and on the Internet. Catch podcasts of the shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community Radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agriculture Show is made possible by Community Radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
Hello, this is the Tugboat of the Tugboat.ca. Community Radio CKMS is the voice of the people, by the people. I support CKMS 102.7 Radio Waterloo.ca because it's the real deal.
That's a lot of fun, isn't it? Well, we're back, folks, and thanks for listening in to the Agriculture Show. It's episode number 224, I think, today. Thomas Hagee is our guest today. It's July the 17th of 2018, and thanks for listening in. Boy, we've heard some great songs. You had the great Beatles song going on there, and this last one now is Mr. Boz Skaggs.
Or Ricky Skaggs.
Ricky Skaggs, so...
But he's been mistaken for Boz.
Well, I hope our listeners have a chance to get a feel for what we're going to talk about today. It's the Agriculture Show, and we bring in all kinds of folks to talk about agriculture. And if you're looking at our Facebook page, you'll see a link to a site called playboard.ca. And if you get the drift of the song so far, at this time, I'd like to ask Thomas, tell us, Thomas, what are you doing? What's up? What's up with you?
Well, I've just published after many years. It's a hardcover book called The Very Best of Playboy, special edition. So, and I'm not going to tell you how many years ago, but when I was a young man, you know, there's always pressure to take over the farm.
Right.
I mean, that's what farmers do. They have a bunch of kids, and they put them to work early, and they hope that they will take over the farm. You know,
right.
And it really is. It can be a burden. I think these days farms are going for more money than you could ever imagine. Certainly back then, but you know, I sat down because I was. You know, I felt I was always a kind of a funny guy, and I had, you know, I always made fun of ads, and I was an impressionist. I could mimic ads and make people laugh. So I thought, you know something, I don't think I can do this.
Right.
I don't think I can be a farmer. And my brother was there. So, I mean, I just thought, you know something, I sat down to kind of write a letter to my parents that I wasn't going to be a farmer. And what happened, it turned into a 48-page magazine called Playboy.
Yeah.
And so it was at a time when agriculture was under siege by high interest rates, and banks and money lenders were basically foreclosing on farmers. And levity gets us through some of the worst situations. And that was what it was. It was kind of interesting. Barbara Frum, who was the host for As It Happens at that point, picked up the story, and it went run around the world on shortwave, and Playboy took off. And so it was, you know, it was basically, it was pigs, the way farmers would never ever look at their pigs the same after seeing them in kind of a suggestive a position. You've got a little a litter mate of the year that was kind of a sexy sow, and it sort of got a lot of people through to better times. And so I did it as an agricultural edition for about seven issues, and had taken on some investment people. That was sort of not working out. I suddenly realized when a place like the Tulane Truck Stop, which is outside of town, was outside of town, sold 7,000 copies out of a truck stop. I knew that it wasn't just farmers that were reading it. And so I decided that I'd like to make it into a little coffee table book.
Okay.
And so we did that. And as it turned out, it sold over 1 million copies. Yeah. And so it was, that's kind of, so what I'm doing now is, I've upgraded, the text. So it's about 70% new material. I've managed to bring in, other swinish characters, Harvey Weinstein, and Donald Trump. So it's really kind of up to date, and it makes fun of advertising and basically humans behaving badly. And so that's what we're just launching. This is actually the first interview that I've done.
Oh, you have the world premiere here.
Well, this is the world premiere here. So you know, we're gonna forge ahead. This summer and fall, and
Maybe we should talk about, tell our listeners. So, if they want to get a copy, how do they go about doing this?
I mean, ultimately, if you're in the area, if you're in the immediate area, Waterloo Region, Guelph, sort of thing, you can buy it at Book Express in the Cambridge Center Mall, and John's got a number of copies down there, so you can get it there.
Yes,
or you can go to our website. So it's playboard.ca, playboard.ca, and it will give you instructions. It's also available as a digital book. So if you've got iPads or any other platform, you know, Kindles or what have you, it's available for $3.99, you know, for a digital book, and $19.99 for a great hardcover book. So Amazon.ca, if you go to playboard.ca, there's a link straight to where you can actually buy it on Amazon. So yeah, it's available, and if you're in the area and decide you want to order a few, I'd bring them to your house.
Well, I have a copy, and thanks for signing that, Tom. And I had so much fun reading that. It reminded me of way back when you first started the project. How many original Playboy magazines did you produce? Like, I'm thinking like four. Is that about
right?
Well,
it ended up being about seven.
Yeah, okay.
And it was an odd format. It was partly agricultural information, like. You know, for the purebred people, it was about how you fit pigs to go to a show and show your pigs for prize money, and just also about market conditions. So it was, it somehow people just wanted to have it.
Yeah.
In those days, before the digital world took over, people used to hide their men's magazines under their mattress. And so, you know, it was people just, actually, you know something? It was about 65% of our market was women buying it for men. Because it was one of those things
just,
that were
just so much fun.
A little bit.
To chuckle. It's just great.
Yeah. So it kind of just made people laugh. And that was from the comfortable distance of pigs.
Yeah. Well, you know what we should do? We got, for those listening on Facebook live video, why don't you hold up your copy there
in front
of one of our cameras here, and we'll have a quick look. See, right behind your laptop there is your copy. So just,
right here.
Right.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, use
like.
That one, yeah.
There was another issue that kind of came out earlier. So this is the this is the current one. So there could be a few out there that you might see around on Amazon or in Google search.
So I have a request. Just show them that back cover. Give people a quick idea of what they can expect to see in there.
Well, yeah, this is. This is kind of a spoof on the De Boer's diamonds and the fact that people should spend $7,000 or $8,000 on a diamond ring, and it will help the relationship last longer. And I'm just saying, marry for love if you can, because the diamond, the sparkle goes out of a diamond quicker than you may think.
Yeah. So, well, we'll take some time during the show to show some more. You got one more you want to show us in there? Well, we're thinking about it, but you know.
Let me tell you.
Yeah, you have a favorite in there that you.
I do, and this is based on a real product, and it's really an aphrodisiac. This is from Calvin Swine, which is the word play, but it's called pheromone fusion. So, back when artificial insemination first came in, the sow did not know that she was being bred. Now, if she was even just not quite in standing heat, without the weight of the boar on her, she wouldn't know she's being bred, and would actually maneuver out of where you're trying to hold her into to breed her. So as soon as you sprayed this, it was called Boar Mate back then. You sprayed that under her nose, and if she was close to being in heat, it would bring her around. It was like an aphrodisiac. It brought her around into heat, and the deed was done. You know, you released the semen, and that was that. But so this is a spoof on that, and there's some. It's got an agricultural charm to it. There's lots of things like this, and then there's just takeoffs on products that are available out there. To substitute happiness for things.
Well, we'll throw some more shots of that during our show here on Facebook Live. For you guys that are listening online, just head over to the playboy.ca and you'll have a webpage there, and you're going to have stuff on there about, you know, what you're doing, how to order the book, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and they can see there's about 8 or 10 pages of sample content, so they can see what they're getting before they buy it.
Yeah, good stuff. Let's play this song, Thomas. What do you got next on the playlist there? Tell us about it. Maybe you've seen these guys.
Well, I tell you, Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks was a band that I just loved. And it was really comedy, but in many a truth, as they say, is said in jest. And so they were really comedic musicians, but played incredibly well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when relationships turn bad, or at least, you know, I mean, hey, we sort of grow into adulthood, and you know, you want to pick the right person, but you know, let's just face it, the reality of it is, if it's your first boyfriend or girlfriend, chances are you're not going to be with them, even though, you know, your parents will say, hey, you know, you might find somebody else, and you don't want to hear that. But when they turn sour, what do? You know, you don't want to be, you know, nasty about it. So this song is called How Can I Miss You When You Won't Go Away, which I think is just, it just makes you smile. Yeah. And it's really about how do you say it's over to somebody without hurting their feelings?
And have you seen these guys at all, Dan Hicks?
I've never seen him. I wish I had. Yes. He wrote a lot of great songs, and there's a lot of funny songs. If people like to laugh and also be really entertained, Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks is a great band to listen to. So,
all right.
Yeah, here's How Can I Miss You When You Won't Go Away.
All right, click on it. Let's listen to it.
I've talked to your mother and I've talked to your dad. They say I've tried, but it's all in vain. I've begged and I've pleaded, I've even got mad. Now we must face it, you give me a pain. How can I miss you when you won't go away? Keep telling you day after day, but you won't listen, you always stay and stay. Never-ending presence really cramps my style. I dream that it won't always be the same. At first I was attracted, but after a while, have you ever heard of the hard to get game? How can I miss you when you won't go away? Keep telling you day after day, but you won't listen. You always stay and stay. How can I miss you when you won't go away? I mean it too. Just do me a favor and listen to my plea. I'm not the only chicken on the roost. How can I miss you when you won't go away? Keep telling you
Hi, I'm Rory Box from Scotland. You're listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio, the Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of innovation, hard work and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
Hi, this is jazz musician, singer and songwriter Tim Lewis. And you're listening to The Agricultural Show here on CKMS Radio Waterloo 102.7.
Okay, we're back, and thanks for that song there, Thomas. That's a great song. That's Dan Hicks and the Hot Licks.
It reminds me of another. Yeah. Like there's always these classic country and western songs that you know about pickup trucks and dogs. And but the other one that I liked is a classic country song name was "If You Keep Throwing Dirt, You're Gonna Lose Ground." Anyway.
Now there, I forgot to put our little promo in here. I was going to play something, but that's the show gets its own momentum, and so lots of excitement here sitting with Thomas talking about a local guy and what he's been doing with comedy and his new book coming out. This is a great Christmas present, do you think?
It's totally a great Christmas gift. Or yeah. Any other, I mean, if people are getting married, I recommend that grooms buy it for their groomsmen, because there's really a lot of good little lessons about for men and women in it. And yeah. That's I've written it. It's not a I've been a feminist for 40 years, so Playboy's, you know, when I went from being a pig farmer's journal to the first coffee table book, really it's about how oftentimes it's about how not to be and that, you know, relationships are really about, trust, you know, if it's going to last.
Right.
So it's, anyway, yeah.
So we're in our third segment of our show here, folks, and we've talked already with Thomas about who he is and how many people sit around at their Christmas table. And what are you and your lovely wife, and how many are in your house right now? Are they all taken off to school?
Well, hopefully they're not in the house, but it is under air conditioning. There's about six or eight of us. I've got stepkids. Heather's kids are my kids. And we've got four grandkids. Mm-hmm. And I've got...
It's quite a crowd that shows up if they all decide to come out, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And a biological son, James, up in Barrie. So we're a little group of people that get together often and enjoy being with each other.
And then we talked a bit about the project, which is playboard.ca. We'll get back to that a little bit further on. But in this segment, I'd like to ask the guests, so what would you tell the public about agriculture? I know sometimes people say, well, do brown cows give brown milk? And then what would you tell people about agriculture? Here's the premise that 98% of our listeners, urban listeners, they can see what's the headlines in the press as being just the sound bites. But they really like to know about agriculture. They really honestly just want to know what the heck's going on in the farm out there.
Yeah.
What would you tell them?
As a farm kid, and I feel fortunate that farm kids have an edge.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you learn... The facts of farming as a child, and you learn the facts of life.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, love is another situation, but you do learn what happens. You experience life and death. I mean, you've got a cow that has a calf, and the calf doesn't make it. The cow doesn't make it. You've got a sow that does the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You find yourself, it's kind of funny. E.B. White wrote a short story. Now, E.B. White did Charlotte's Web and Stuart Little, but he wrote a short story for the New Yorker called Death of a Pig. And it was really about raising a pig that you would feed all summer long, and then in the fall you would have it killed, and you'd butcher it, and you'd eat it.
Right.
So anyway, the pig took sick, so he found himself in the dilemma. of trying to save a pig's life so he could kill it later on.
Right.
So, and anyway, he there was one line which is actually in Playboy, and it's about the commitment of agriculture, and it is once you've given a pig an enema, there's no turning back. So I mean, you're into it up to your literally up to your shoulders, because yeah. I've had to, when a sow was having difficulty having pigs, you mm-hmm. had to reach in, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden the sow wants to get up. And you got your, you know, you've got, you're up to your shoulder and right. To save the pig. So other things that I love about agriculture is when you're 5 years old, you're driving a tractor. I mean, these are, it's also one of the most dangerous places yeah. to be on a farm. I mean, I think we're almost, I mean, any farmer is almost killed once. Mm-hmm. And you've really got to be careful, you know, to make sure you count your children about every 20 minutes, because it's it anything can happen. But you know, it's we are. I mean, ultimately, there's the saying: if you ate today, thank a farmer. Mm-hmm. And you know, you've got some variations of that. But that's ultimately that's what it is. We're you know, we've been doing what our families and you know, forefathers have been doing for hundreds of years, and mm-hmm. that is, you know, betting on the weather, which is crazy. Oh. I don't think there's another vocation out there where you bet on the weather, and that's right. why farmers ultimately they figure, you know, they can't have a sense of humor because they're always under the gun, you know. But they do. Anybody that bets their income on something that is as crazy as the weather
yep.
has got to either be crazy or starting to get crazy. So, it's a lovely. I mean, ultimately. As far as children raising your kids, basically you work where you know you're at work. You wake up at work, and so it's great to be, you know. There's none of this. Well, I'm off at the office. I spend all my time on the computer. Basically, you're with your children 24/7.
Right.
And so there's a lot more that you can do to understand each other, to work together, and grow. So. Even if people raise a few chickens in their backyard, if mm-hmm. you can get your dirt, your shoes muddy, and get your fingers and hands into agriculture, you're going to be a better person for it.
Mm-hmm. And there's lots of jobs out there. And there's, I think, last I heard the colleges were saying there's two jobs for every graduate from Guelph and Ridgetown, all these places. So
yeah. And
there's demand for science, technology skills.
And I think that, you know, something I think we're going back to, and consumers, without being, you know, heavy-handed and political about what happens, you know, with whether you agree with, you know, if you're a vegetarian, and that's a choice. That's a good, I mean, that's a choice for them. They know yeah. what's right for them. But farmers, you know, there's been the transition. I think 20 years ago, it kind of went to confinement barns, and we've come away from that now.
Mm-hmm.
There's more room to move around. There's more free range. Animals are, you know, go outside and wander around and come back in. So things have changed, and I think animal health has improved in the last decade greatly. And so, you know, that we're here. There's 8 billion of us now.
That's true.
And yep. so we need to feed the people. Mm-hmm. And I think there'll be a lot of changes in the next 20 years. People want to know where their food comes from. And I think, you know, who doesn't want to know that? So I think young farmers are answering the call and are, you know, are progressing in some making great strides.
Yeah, people may remain interested, and you know, we've had a good loyal fan base for a while here, just steady, and they like to be able to talk about their craft, to talk about what they do, and to just like you would a casual conversation on the street with someone. See,
this is like sitting on the porch,
yeah.
and it's what I. What I really like, I mean, that's what we did. And it was funny. When I was coming here,
yeah.
I had the directions, but it's a big building. And so I'm looking out the window of my car, and there was some tech people on the third floor. And so they're looking out their window, and I just I started yelling out, do you know where the radio station is? Well, it was really comical, because here are these tech guys, and you know, I could have said, why don't you text me, and here's my number. But I decided to do what we always did on the farm, and that was yell out the back door.
Mm-hmm.
And you know something? You got a response.
Yeah.
When we were in the bush cutting wood, all my mom had to do was ring the bell, and we had a school bell on the back of, on the woodshed of the house.
Right.
In fact, we had to ring it and be careful, because as soon as your neighbors heard the bell ringing, they knew it was dinner time.
Right.
So you might end up getting a crowd at dinner time. So, but that was it. The dog would start barking because it hurt its ears,
yeah,
and you knew that it was time to go. You didn't need to text anybody, and you didn't need to be online.
Right. You just it's one of those. That's why you got used to talking to each other.
It's called rural communication.
Yeah.
Right next to the party line, it was the best way to communicate with your neighbors.
I remember party line. Ours was one long, one short. Remember what
yours was? Ours was a long and two shorts.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, so that's it's funny how maple syrup was another thing that we ultimately, and
yeah,
you know, as far as farmers go, what you did is you did as many things as you possibly could.
Yeah.
So you cut some wood, you sold wood. You made maple syrup. We had tree farms, so every Christmas we got to sell Christmas trees, but we had to help plant them.
Right.
So it's really saying, we got this land, what do we do with it to get revenues coming in as much as you possibly can?
Mm-hmm. When you're out to a party or something and someone says, you know, does brown milk come from brown cows? Any unusual and opening and opportunities you've had to, you know, have someone
to mislead them? Absolutely.
I was thinking more that the aha moment when you see someone had learned something about agriculture that they never really understood before.
Well, and that's true. And we can't expect them to know. And that's why we all have to be ambassadors for the lifestyle.
Yeah.
When I showed pigs at the Royal Winter Fair, I would wait up, and a lot of farmers at the time figured, well, you know, because you had the farmers just a little bit of inferiority complex, and a lot of farmers had it where they thought, you know, city people didn't know what they were talking about, and why would they?
Yeah.
So I'd spend hours and hours, and you know, when a sow was going to have pigs at the Royal Winter Fair, you've got some city folks that with their children. And they would stay till 2 in the morning. And, you know, there were different times. There was this one family that they will never forget that in their life. They stayed and watched the life process happen.
Right, yeah.
And it was really tremendous. And, you know, I think we all have to do that. I mean, we need to tell our story to people. To urban people, because mm-hmm. urban people live in a very intense environment.
Yep.
I don't think humans, personally, I don't think humans were meant to be that close, but we are.
Mm-hmm.
So the best we can do and the least we can do is to make sure they understand the lifestyle.
Yeah.
And you know, if there's somebody being politically aggressive about what farmers are and what they do, it's up to us to explain to them without mm-hmm. getting angry, explain
right.
to them, you know, set the story straight.
There you go. I mean, that's perfect. I really appreciate you taking time to explain that. That's simply what it is. It's certainly easy to sit around and complain and people aren't understood, but the fact is that a lot of people are just really genuinely interested and really would like to hear anybody in agriculture speak about what they do.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
One more thing. It was kind of interesting. I was at the Royal Winter Fair, and every several years, or every other year, the royal family, one member of the royal family would visit.
Mm-hmm.
I got to right up close to Princess Margaret, but it was Prince Philip. You know, when I saw him at the royal wedding, here's a 96-year-old person. I know that he's shaken hundreds of thousands of hands in his life, and mine was one of them. And, you know, we were 14 years old, and so he wanted to ask us questions about this sow. It was a Landrace sow. And anyway, he shooed all the press away. So we were in an aisle with no press around,
yeah.
and Prince Philip asked me to get the sow up and to turn her around, and he wanted to check out her underline and look at her feet and legs and her breed character. Let me tell you, I was impressed. And normally, you know, the royal family may not want you touching them. He shook our hands. And it was one of those things where I say, hey, you can't say the royal family doesn't know about things like agriculture and all the breeds of animals and cattle and hogs and horses that are out there. They really do. And so when I see him on TV, I just said, I shook his hand, and he was such a gentleman about it, and didn't say, gee, I don't want to, you know. And I probably had, you know, pig dust on me, and he didn't care. So it was pretty cool.
That's a good story. I'm glad you thought that came up in our conversation, the message to agriculture. Guess what? We should be playing another song here. What do you got tuned in there?
Well, I tell you, there's I can't get away from, I mean, since Playboy is really about relationships, and once again, sometimes you get mired in life, and sometimes you say, well, you know, maybe I'm with the wrong person, or maybe I followed the wrong path. And this is there was an album by Crystal Gayle and Tom Waits. Mm-hmm. And this one's called Is There Any Way Out of This Dream? And it's really about being at your wit's end and saying, how do I get out of this? And where am I going to end up? So it's a beautiful, beautiful song. So all here right. it is. Is There Any Way Out of This Dream by Crystal Gayle.
All right. Press the button. We'll be right back, folks.
Can clearly see nothing is clear. I keep falling apart every year. Let's take a hammer to it. There's no glamour in it. Is there any? As blue as I can possibly be. Is there someone else out there for me? Summer is dragging its feet. I feel so incomplete. Is there any?
We're back, and Thomas, you want to give us a little promo here? We very kindly could you read that off there, and we'll have you on the station forever, buddy.
This is Thomas Hagee from Playboy. This is CKMS Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca, and on Facebook Live Video. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. Thank you. The Agriculture Show is made possible by community radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
Oh my goodness! Thanks for doing that. Hey. You have a second career as an audio specialist here. This is great.
Well, when the words are there, it's great. It's the words that resonate.
And you know, guests like yourself, it's just wonderful because, hey, you actually can talk about farm stuff. You've had the experience. You can relate your story to our urban listeners, and many times the show, we're sort of aiming for like, it's like agriculture 101. Like you can go on about the latest corn varieties and stuff, but essentially you put the stuff in the ground and it grows, and people don't know how do we do that. Well, it's a corn planter, and what do you do? Well, you put fertilizer. Oh, yeah, okay. And just those simple parts about agriculture are a big deal.
Well, it's kind of interesting because, you know, when we talk about what did you learn, you know, from being raised in the country, but we'll be going down the road and I'll look up and I'll see some sun dogs or I'll see something. I say, well, change of weather coming. Right. And, you know, it's you kind of looking around and saying, well, what makes you say that? I said, no, it is coming. It's coming. And that's the way it is. So it's funny. You find out a lot of things that you wouldn't normally know unless you've been. And when I see people running, you know, and it's their choice. But when I see people running down the road in their gym shorts and their workout and they're listening to music, and you got to do what you got to do. But to me, I think the further away from how the environment and how life without noise sounds, the closer we become to it, you know. So I think it's if we want to, we need a little less, sometimes a little less, noise and a lot more listening to what the earth sounds like. Because if it's hurting, the earth will tell us.
You know, I have some sympathy for what you're saying. It seems to me you're out running, and you know, a younger age, I might have run once in a while in preparation for sports and stuff like that, and it does seem kind of odd to have this like beat sound going on in the background. You want to experience and listen to your breathing and and just kind of get into that rather than having. That's my opinion about. I don't get earbuds when you're exercising really down the road.
Yeah, they hurt your ears. But you know, everybody does. Everybody does their thing, and that's what they need to do. That's whatever gets them out is a good thing.
That's true. Yeah, that seems like not worth complaining about once people made the effort and commitment to get out and exercise. After that, it's just fine what you do. We love it. So this is we are in the fourth section of our show, and just to review before we, this is kind of a catch up section of the show. We kind of follow up. No, Tom's had a few things, but so just a quick review. We talked to Tom. We've had four or five of his songs so far. Great selection. We know that he's got his six or seven kids around the house there. It's quite a flock, I guess, and they all show up. And we know Tom's had a career. He's really, folks, just go to playboard.ca. Tom's greatest, latest creative effort is there. Buy that hardcover book. It's a lot of fun. We should maybe, let's put some more pictures up there that what we got there.
Yeah, let me just grab
Yeah, let's
book.
Do that for a second. We're broadcasting from our studios here at the Old Beamer Box Factory in Kitchener, Waterloo, on the corner of Bright Up and Weber. And we thank you for listening in. We have our door open to keep us nice and cool, and the sounds and life of the building go past our door, including kids and all kinds of things going on. So what do you got here?
Well, I want to show you, you know, it was kind of interesting. I the book written, you know, took about 2 years to rewrite it.
Yeah.
And then last year we ran a few hundred and sold those. But then Hugh Hefner died. So I had to rewrite his editorial. And then Harvey Weinstein, as I call him, you know, his story hit and went public. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, really it plays into to exposing, you know, the pig behind the man, which is unfair to pigs, as I mentioned earlier. But just having, you know, it was interesting. I took Weinstein's eyes, the big bags that he has under his eyes, and I threw it into a pig in Photoshop, and it really, really, really looks like him. So it's just about why no means no, even amongst swine. So this is...
Okay, so you gotta pick a list. Like I had to pick the seven or eight.
Yeah, we'll pick seven or.
And then try to get into this shot here.
Okay, oh sorry. Oh, up or down?
Maybe number six. No, number eight might be a better one. Try number
it
eight.
It might be. Sorry, folks.
No, that's a good one.
So here's Harvey Weinstein, and it's just his story about. How he decided to mix business with, well, one-sided pleasure.
yeah.
And so that's Harvey. And I think anybody that that certainly has followed the story is going to like the text that's there. And then, you know, here we got the president of the United States, and I've got Donald Trump as a pig. as misogynist of the year, I mean, pretty much everybody agrees that they would take any of the last five presidents over over Trump, and especially when he had such disrespect for women, and really that's the theme of Playboy is mutual respect. And you know something, I think of say four or five things that really need to be present in any kind of a relationship, and especially when it turns to a more intimate relationship. So, I mean, you've got desire, you've got trust, you've got consent, you've got respect, and last but by no means least, protection. Mm-hmm. So these things, if it's going to be a healthy relationship, those are the things, the aspects of a relationship that should be present. Otherwise, without consent, without trust, respect, there's very little there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's just a nice opportunity it just occurred to me now that besides having that fun agricultural point with the fact that there's some educational value there, it's also an opportunity to talk about other social values. And mm-hmm. it sounds like you're fully able to speak to those things. Me Too movement, now it's been, a year and a bit maybe since that has sprung out, and consequences and benefits have happened. So.
And, the reality of it, too, is not every guy is a jerk and not every woman is honorable.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, I think what we have to do is, we have to find, mutual respect.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, I am for being transparent, and anonymous allegations sometimes can go in a bad direction. Ultimately, it's unfortunate that it has to happen to begin with, but ultimately, I think there's a lot of guys out there who have really changed over the last 20 years mm-hmm. from when Playboy, because Playboy really, benefited a lot of, a lot of people. Yeah, Hefner certainly wasn't perfect. The whole idea around it was kind of a little bit goofy, titillating.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he changed several generations from people that that were probably had. The far right was probably trying to discourage sex education, here we are dealing with that now.
Right.
Is let's go back to a time and let's not prepare our children for what lies ahead, because we should be telling them as much as we can in a respectful way. It's just like ultimately. When I was, raised on the farm, we were breeding, we were helping it, probably from the time I was five, we
right.
knew that if you did this, then you got little pigs.
Right.
So that was, there was no, they don't tell you a little story that sex isn't happening. This mm-hmm. is,
mm-hmm.
this is how you get them. So that's the meaning of ham is my editorial, in the book. And it's really about that. I think it's important that we, tell our children about life. Otherwise, they won't know about it, and they'll make more mistakes than they really need to.
I like the fact they're talking about bringing backyard chickens again.
I think that's a great idea,
don't you think?
When you hear er,
they don't allow that. I don't think.
What? No roosters allowed?
No. Darn things that get pretty yucky first.
Yeah,
and sunrise is what 5:30 now or something.
It's I tell that to a rooster, and they are. They're a pretty good clock. They don't have, they don't have a Fitbit. I can tell you that. The other thing was, when I first promoted Playboy, I put together a pigmobile, and there'll be people out there who remember my pig car. But here's the car that that I drove 8,000 kilometers around North America. on a tour called Hams Across America.
Yeah.
We didn't have the money to fly everywhere. And so we built the car, and I took off driving. And it was a real, we gave a half a ton of ham to the Second Harvest Food Bank in Seattle, Washington.
Right.
I got it from a meat broker in Chicago that I'd never met.
Mm-hmm.
And his son had tried to commit suicide. He said, look, put my son's name in your next book and just consider the meats on me.
Right.
So here this meat showed up
yeah.
At the food bank, half really? A ton of ham, yeah. And I drove this pigmobile right around North America, hitting as many cities as I possibly could.
Yeah.
And it was just the most amazing trip ever. I mean, what a great way to promote a book is is driving a pig car. And then en route, I ended up racing the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. So you can imagine having a pigmobile and a hot dog going down the road at the same time, all trying to get into the winning position. But it was just hilarious. The hot dog guys, I mean, the wiener guys are laughing at me. And I said, look, you're driving a hot dog and you're laughing at me. So it's, I have to say that the my life has been interesting, you know, and we always use some sort of creative way. There's always a creative solution
mm-hmm.
to whatever kind of hurdle that you have. There's mm-hmm. a creative way of doing it. And if you can bring laughter into it, it makes it even more worthwhile.
Mm. No, great stories. You know, you can speak really well to bringing the message of agriculture to the public in a fun way and what's going on. So thanks for mentioning that. That's good stuff. So what else do we want to follow up on? The book's available. You go to there's a bookstore in Cambridge.
Yeah, Book Express is
in the Cambridge Mall.
In the Cambridge Center, yeah.
And then
Amazon. You can go to our website at playboard.ca, and it'll give you all of the links to buy it online.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got a line of merchandise that's coming out. So we've got I'm planning some barbecue sauces.
Mm-hmm.
If people like ones that aren't that don't have a lot of things like corn syrup and things like that, they're going to be with less sugar.
All right.
And some great hats and shirts and barbecue aprons. And so there's going to be some fun merchandise that's going to kind of come out around with it. And it should be fun. If you like to laugh, really, this is a great laugh for anybody. I had a young woman when I wanted to weigh it at the Canada Post, and tattoos all over her body, and she looked at it and begged me to sell it to her.
Yeah,
she said, I want to give this to my man.
Well,
you know but
what? It's funny. I had a copy from you for a couple of 3 weeks now, and I carried it around with me in my truck, and I showed it to people, and they just still, even people never see it before, they get it right off the bat. It's pretty funny. It's a great, it's a great fun book to see.
Yeah. It awakens your senses.
Yeah. well, that's good. So we're doing really good here, Thomas. We're into our fourth segment here. We're going to play another song before we do our final wrap-up here. We've covered all the bases so far. We talked about yourself. We talked about Playboy. We talked about agriculture. And now this is a little bit kind of a sum-up situation. We're going to our last and final segment. Tell us about this next song.
Well, I tell you,
please.
You know, it goes back to Tom Waits and Crystal Gayle again.
Yeah.
They did an album together. Called One from the Heart. But this is, once again, about, you know, the last one was, is there any way out of this dream? You know, is there anyone out there for me? This one is just about a relationship that kind of went bad, and it's called Picking Up After You. And it's really about, I'm just sick and tired of picking up after you. And just as a bit of an intro, what we find is that, men seem to get, well, women like to be forever 29. So that's the age that women like to stick to. They get to just before their 30th birthday and they'll say, I'm forever 29. Yeah. Guys, and this gets tiresome after a while to women, but guys like 12 Like, and I hear more women saying, you're just acting like a 12-year-old. But it's also the time in our lives
right.
when everything changed,
right.
when it all changed. And I always say, horny changed everything. It's because you start getting active. You start looking at your older sister's girlfriend in a very different way. And it's when everything was goofy and just about, you know, your wiener. And so it was kind of funny. Guys stick to the 12 thing, and after a while, people are just tired of it. You know, by the time you're 45 or 50, guys get ready for this because you better pull up your socks because women are going to get tired of the 12-year-old mentality. So
I think there's another book in there, Economy.
I know there is.
You got such great ideas.
So this is, I'm tired of being picking up after you, and it's probably from the male perspective, but it's
Tom Waits.
Yes, Tom Waits. Yeah.
Okay.
This is Christine Skinderud from Perth County. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, on the digital Rogers Digital Network at 946, and on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agriculture Show is made possible by community radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
I'm Owen Roberts from the GMOs. You are listening to Community Radio, CKMS, Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7, or on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, or on the internet at soundfm.ca. Community Radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music.
And we're back, and thank you so much, folks, for listening in today. We're in the last bit of our show today. Thomas Hagee's been our guest, episode number 224, and it's July 17th of 2018. We've had a great time talking about who Tom is, what he does, and all that kind of stuff. And then we talked a little bit about agriculture, and then we had a little wrap-up. Clearly, we could talk tons more, but an hour-long show is probably where we want to end up at here. This last segment is actually the one I really like. Well, I like it all, but this one I like to ask my guest, can you tell us, Thomas, what are you doing in the next 2 hours and 2 days and 2 weeks, 2 months and 2 years? 20 years if you want to go that far. What are you doing next 2 hours?
I am probably going to go and relax somewhere. Not that I haven't been relaxed here, but it's always I try to prepare for things. So, yeah, I'm going to I'm working on getting my public relations program together for the book. So we've got to look at different, everything's changed. The whole media landscape has changed so much. So we're going to be, I'll be writing just ideas down that will help us tell the story of Playbore and why people should buy it. So next 2 weeks, actually, we're going, Heather and I, and it's a family. We're heading to New Brunswick.
Nice.
And we're going to go canoeing and celebrate with family down there, which is really great. It's too early for the chanterelle mushrooms, but they live in rural New Brunswick. So it's always great finding the earth's bounty in the marshy areas of New Brunswick. So that and then between now and Christmas, we're going to be promoting the book, and I hope to people will hear me different times and consider picking up something. Laughter is levity is our way back to stability. So if you're pulling your hair out, get something that makes you laugh. And
do you ever do guests as a guest speaker? Are you got that in your skill set?
I have done that. Just basically, I've been guest speaker. Actually, Mensa, which I call them the brainiacs out there, but Mensa had me for their national as their guest speaker, and I felt at once inadequate and that I had a leg over on people. So anyway, I do that, and sometimes I've done it for Rotary clubs and things like that, and some farming events and things like that. So
right.
I've done that, people want to hear this kind of silliness, I'm more than willing to. My wife said, "Hey, just go on what you do best, talk." So I do enjoy talking about things.
Yeah, they tend to be a really pretty good guest speaker. You got all the media covered well, well-spoken, had lots of experiences. It'd be quite probably an entertaining and educational experience, I suppose, at Christmas at a annual meeting or banquet or something. It'd be a good deal.
How much time do we have?
We're just kind of into the last bit of it here, just
We can take as much time as we want, really. What did you have in mind?
Over the years, I ended up befriending Les Nessman from WKRP in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So anyway, Mary Tyler Moore Productions bought 500 copies of Playboy to give out to the studio audience. But when I did my Hams Across America tour, I ended up getting off the L.A. freeway by mistake and ended up in a Hispanic gang headquarters. So I pull up in this car. I go inside to ask directions, and they hadn't seen the car yet. So I within 30 seconds, I had a knife to my throat, and I was explaining why I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a tough neighborhood. And so I said, well, you know, I was driving the pigmobile, and he shook his head, and he sounded like Scarface, Al Pacino in Scarface. So I'm like, I'm honestly pooping my pants. And I just felt that I could be dead soon. And so he says, what the F is a pigmobile? So I said, we walked over to the door, still with the knife to my throat. We went to the door. He opened the door and saw that pig car that I showed you earlier. Well, he started to laugh. He just fell over laughing. He told the guy at the door, he says, you make sure nobody touches that car, that pig car. He loves saying the pig car. Or I'll personally kill them, you know, and I had no reason to believe that he wouldn't have. But I was their guest for the evening. There wasn't a thing that I didn't pay anything. I was entertained. And when I left, when I took off in that pig car, here are the most violent people that you can imagine waving and snorting like pigs. It was so I documented it in Playboy, and it's called Waiting to Die in East L.A. And when I was talking to Richard Sanders, who was Les Nessman, he said, I told him the story, and he said, you have to tell that story sometime. And so I decided to tell it. But anyway, there's a big story behind the pigmobile and how it actually saved my life.
Yeah.
And if I'd have been in anything else, I probably wouldn't be talking to you right now.
Well, it's just a potpourri of stuff you've had experiences. And get the book, folks, and check it out. There's your editorial and some stories in there, as you indicated. Great comedy shots and pictures and innuendos and suggestions.
Yes.
From Schweinstein to Donald Rump.
Yeah.
And the DeBoer's Diamond Company.
It's been really great being on the show, and I really believe in community radio and communities in general, and certainly it's really a way of taking the pulse of any community.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for saying that. I just want to thank you on behalf of the Agriculture Show for being a guest today. Everybody's busy, and you came in and tell us a great story of where agriculture fits in the scheme of things. We talk about your special thing you're doing with your great books and from building on a past of having a wonderful series of soft cover magazines. And
people like go out. We're coming into the season where fresh produce is here, and this is what we go out and buy local food if you can.
Yeah.
It's the best time of year for it. And it supports the local economy.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, holy smokes. Thanks for listening in, my good listeners. And come back in 6 days and 22 hours. We'll have another great show and talk about agriculture. And in the meantime, we'll just carry on with, as you mentioned, Thomas, if you eat today, thank a farmer. But if you're a farmer, thank a consumer.
Absolutely. That is the other side of that.
That's the other side. So with that, folks, we'll see you later. Have a great week. Hope you enjoy the more moderate weather. And see us next week for episode number 225, I think. Bye for now. See you later.
Thanks. Cheers.